You're listening to NGSC Sports Radio. Hear us live on NGSCSports.com, where you can get awesome analysis for all things sport. Or check out our podcasts on iHeartRadio, Spreaker, iTunes, TuneIn, and much more. For our latest videos, head to NGSC Sports YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter at NGSC Sports and like us on Facebook. NGSC Sports. We never stop. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I'm Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me, I call him the personality of the show, Weasel Weasel!
Yeah, boy!
Stephen Weasel Hurley, bringing that noise. I don't know, would you call Yeah Boy a noise, or is that a chant?
Whatever.
It's a damn noise now. And of course, the local hero himself, he is not in Sumter County, but he's still bringing plenty of heat. Actually, normally you would prevent heat. That's just a confusing analogy. Whatever. Local hero Chris Rankin, welcome in, my man. As always, nice to see you. You know, let me ask you this question, Chris. And this came to me because the Eagles played the Jets this week. Should that be known as the NFL spelling bee? I'm just throwing that out there. Because when either team scores, you know, they do their name J-E-T-S-S or E-A-G-L-E-S, you know, all that. NFL spelling bee?
No, maybe.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. We'll think about it. And of course, I would claim that that could make the 49ers the math edition. But yeah, I lost count of what went wrong there. More on that later. Of course, you're hearing us on NGSC Sports, where we never stop. NGSCSports.com. Check out the awesome. Hey, look, I'm doing my weekly matchup mania. We're 3 or 4 weeks in. Check that out. NGSCSports.com. Do the article there. And, yeah, follow them on Twitter and GSC Sports. So, yeah, let's get right to it. This is the part where I cue the Simpsons because it's going to be an opening homer report. No, I'm just kidding. Thursday night, Redskins-Giants. Chris, go ahead.
In an NFC East battle, the Giants found themselves in a similar situation with the lead going into the fourth quarter. This time, they held on to the lead and won their first game, 32-21 over the Washington Redskins. Redskins' opening series, they went three and out, and on fourth down, the Giants, in the punt return, put their starting running back, Rashard Jennings, to block the punt, and he went through, which he did, and the blocked punt went through the end zone for a safety.
Yeah, I mean, that in itself is an amazing play. The last time we saw that happen was actually about this time last year with Alfred Blue and the Texans, where a running back blocked a punt and all that. But I have to let everybody know, like, when you did your intro there, you noticed I chuckled. This time they held on. That's what I was laughing at, in case anybody was wondering.
Yeah, because they should technically be 3-0 if they held on early in the fourth quarter. But
I mean, you know, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory and everything. I opened with the whole homer thing, because I'll be honest, I was a little bitter. I picked the Skins in the study hall last week, and of course, I backed them, so they decided to go home early. I don't know. Chris, continue.
And then the very next Redskins possession, Kirk Cousins was picked off by Prince Akimura, who returned it inside the 20. A few plays later, Giants running back Andre Williams scored a touchdown. The Giants were up 9-0 and didn't lose any of the lead after that.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Yes, I did say that right. The Giants did score a touchdown in the red zone. But it was the only one on the day as they finished 1-3.
And the red zone isn't to imply that, you know, it was them going into the wrong end zone because they were playing against a team that wears red. No, no. This is an actual completion of a drive. Yeah.
And so, I know they're saying, oh, they're bad in the red zone and everything like that. So I looked it up. They are dead last in red zone percentage scoring this year.
Coincidence? I think not.
With a 27% average.
What did they do in this game red zone-wise?
They were 33.
So they were still 1-3.
Right, they were 1-3 in here, but they were 27% average because last week they were 1-4.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. When 1/3 is better than what you got.
Yeah, that's the Browns, the Jags.
You know,
are better in the red zone than the Giants because they're dead last.
The 49ers are better than, well, actually, because they haven't been making it to the red zone. That's probably got more to do with that.
Yeah, it was 23-32 for 279 yards with 2 touchdowns, but more importantly, no interceptions.
Correct.
Kirk Cousins was 30-49, 316 yards with a touchdown, 2 INTs. That brings his INT total against the Giants in 3 games up to 8.
Dropping stats like they're dimes. Look at that. Three games, eight picks. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, on the ground, rookie Matt Jones. You know how many people probably picked him up last week?
Weasel, yeah. Started him.
How'd that go for you, Weasel?
He had 11 carries for 38 yards with a lost fumble.
Yeah.
This is the part where Weasel says, not so much.
Instead of 3 points for the 38 yards, he got 1 point.
Wah-wah.
That's bad.
That was Byron. Okay.
Jordan Reed had 96 yards receiving, and Chris Thompson had a touchdown catch for the Redskins. But for the Giants, Ruben Randall had 7 catches for 116 yards with a touchdown, and Odell Beckham Jr. held in 7 catches for 79 yards and a touchdown. Difference in the game was, like I said, turnovers, 3 for the Skins, none for the Giants.
I mean, look, this is 101 football. If you turn the ball over, you're not going to win the football game. If you don't have a balanced offense with Matt Jones against the Giants was not, you're not going to win the football game. That simple. You want to know what else is simple? What we just said. Turning over the football, you can't win a game. So a game where you throw 4 interceptions and manage, what is it, 67 total yards? Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to win the game. Also, when you're below 500, throwing the football less than 25, 500 being 50%, you're not going to win the game.
67 total yards for the day?
For the passing game. That's 67 gotcha. Passing yards.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I thought you meant total yards.
Yeah, so I didn't even bother put the running yards on this game because it didn't matter. Colin Kaepernick having a horrible day, 4 picks, 2 pick sixes, and the 2 that were so similar, throwing off his back foot to the right side of the field on an out route, it looked like it was a replay. The Niners crushed by the Cardinals, 47-7. Carson Palmer continues to do what he does, 20 for 32, 311 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. Look, guys, I mean, do I have to say anymore? I've been talking about the Niners being bad and or the inevitability of their badness into 2015 since, what was it, like Thanksgiving? No, just after Thanksgiving last year when they lost to the Seahawks the second time. And people are like, people are just now sending me the sympathy cards for what I called about a year ago. Well, okay. Actually, no. 10 months ago, we'll call it. And I'm like, I'm past denial. I'm past anger. I'm at the acceptance stage. You know, part of me is kind of hoping they get a first round pick. I'm just going to throw that out there. Of course, with this class, I don't know. I'll have to ask my guys at Draft Central, Montel Hardy and Josh Zimmer. But maybe O-line's the best move here at this point. That's what I'm thinking. Because both times on both those interceptions, not that they were advisable throws, mind you, but a lot of pressure from that right side at General Region.
You got to look at how they turned around their team a few years ago when they didn't draft first two first-round picks. They drafted 2 O-line.
I see what you did there. Somebody's following my logic. In fairness, they did have Frank Gore employed at that point. But, yeah.
They got Carlos Hyde.
Say again?
They got Carlos Hyde.
They do have Carlos Hyde. I like where that's going. The one high note is Gerard Hayne did have some solid returnage as a punt returner, but not enough to save the day. Weasel, you got something.
So what usually happens when you're up about 31-7 going into halftime
is that you tend to coast.
Yeah, you tend to coast. You don't want to, people call it running up the score type of thing.
Well, that's the opposite of running up the score if you coast.
Well,
I digress.
If you coast, but what I'm saying is people hate it, you know, like you shouldn't run up the score and stuff like that. But this is, of course, you know, a professional football team now.
Sure.
I get points for the BCS. Oh, wait.
The BSC. There's so much there with that statement. I don't even know where to start.
So instead of stepping back and going into like a zone defense, you know, giving up some garbage touchdowns, you go into halftime 31-7. So you got Bruce Arians at halftime saying to his team, if you relax, I'll be looking for new people. Put your foot on their throat.
Well,
so
yeah,
the what ended up happening was it ended up being a 47-7 win. So I think it's cool because there's some people with the like bad sportsmanship running up the thing. Yeah, it's usually for, you know, like kids and stuff, but these are professionals. They are paid. Like if you're on offense for the 49ers,
right.
Their team is paid to put touchdowns on the board.
Oh, that too.
They're also paid to stop the Cardinals. So I think it's cool. And they're actually looking like, you know, like a dominating team on both sides of the football. So good for them.
I mean, that's legit. I mean, the Cardinals haven't played what could be called a quote-unquote tough opponent yet, in fairness. But Look, I have no problem. You want it because the whole step on your on their throat thing? That's something I used to hear from my coaches in semi-pro ball. We weren't getting paid. But your job as a defense is to bleeping stop somebody. And in this league, with this many athletes, you can get a couple quick scores. I think in the Giants game, as a matter of fact, there were three scores in like 30 seconds off of punt returns and big plays. If you are... I'll put it this way. What's worse, getting a little bit of flack for running up the score or being the victim of the biggest comeback in NFL history? Boom.
There's a couple other comebacks yesterday anyway, so...
Yeah.
One prevailed, one didn't, so...
Teasing! So, yeah. With that, speaking of teams that wouldn't come back, Bears-Seahawks, Chris!
Yeah, the Seahawks Cam Chancellor came back into the lineup, and the Seahawks got their first win of the season. Don't get too excited, Seahawks fans, because it was against the Bears, and it was with Jimmy Clausen as the starting quarterback.
Oh, little thing here. While you have guys like Tim Tebow, who don't have a job right now and most likely is going to go back in broadcasting, you have a guy like Jimmy Clausen. He is now, how he did, I'll let you take that. But he is now 1-11 as a starter in his career.
Actually, moreover, adding to that point, I think it's more than 1-11, maybe.
As a starter, you know. So.
I think he started more than that in Carolina.
No, he didn't.
He didn't start that much. Okay, good.
It was like the him and Matt Moore kind
of would switch off.
Yeah, right.
That's true. I mean, yeah, but this is a guy that was part of the Panthers being so bad that they got Cam. You know.
It's like you're welcome.
Suck, but fuck, blah, blah, blah. I almost made a boo-boo there trying to rhyme rock. Anyways, I was like, bleep, right? No, the suck for luck campaign before luck even came about was Jimmy Clausen. And now he's starting for the Bears. Hey, Bears fans, how's that Cutler contract looking now? Sid Luckman, fool. That's the last Bears quarterback of any fame, I think. And I think he might have even been a Decatur Staley. I don't know. Chris.
And you guys remember the fake punt the Rams did last year against the Seahawks?
Oh, that.
Yeah. Seahawks tried copying that. This time, Richard Sherman fielded the ball at his 17 and returned 64 yards to the Bears' 19. The only difference was between this one and that one is the Rams scored a touchdown against the Seahawks. This time, the Seahawks kicked a field goal since he got stopped by... That guy coming back, but he's trying to juke the punter.
Well, yeah. Fun fact, Richard Sherman, also a former receiver in his day.
Right.
But, yeah.
Seahawks kicked the field goal to go up 3-0 in the first quarter. Marshawn Lynch left the game with a hamstring injury, so in came rookie from Central Michigan, Thomas Rawls, who had 16 carries for 104 yards.
Running that football, Rawl is Thomas. Going into this game, there was talk about Marshawn's hamstring. I suppose once you know, the Seahawks had the game under control, they had Lynch take a seat, probably a wiser move.
Right. So the Seahawks also had help from another rookie and a returner, Tyler Lockett, who took the second half kickoff 105 yards for a touchdown. In three games this season, he has a punt return and a kickoff return for a touchdown, and then also in the preseason, he had two touchdown returns.
A little bit busy.
Yeah, the Seahawks finally did utilize Jimmy Graham as he had 7 catches for 83 yards with a touchdown. Russell Wilson was 20 for 30 for 235 yards and a touchdown. The Bears, there's not really much stats mentioning, as they only had 146 yards of offense.
That's still probably more than the Niners.
And they punted all 10 of their possessions and did not reach the red zone.
The first time in... I forget how many years, but that's the first occurrence of its kind in a very long time in the NFL.
So the only thing they did do well is they held the Seahawks offense to 0-2 in the red zone.
Woot? Question mark? Yeah,
but that is the Seahawks offense, so should the Seahawks be worried about their scoring troubles?
Yes, they should, because this is what I've been preaching for, I don't know, months, a year, a little more than that, about Russell Wilson. And not to mention, on top of everything else, he stopped converting third downs. I mean, 5 for 16 on third down is not good. This used to be the thing that I would give Russell Wilson credit for, and I ain't been doing it of late. So, I mean, I don't know where you guys stand on it, Weasel Chris, but yeah, the Seahawks offense is a concerning thing to me, right? I mean, They were successful because they had to outscore Jimmy Clausen. Right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. One of their touchdowns was a return.
A kickoff return, right.
And one was to Jimmy Graham.
Yep. That was their two, and everything else was field goals.
Four
for four on field goals.
Not impressive.
A little maybe worried about the health of one Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, that's worthwhile. Well, and I like that if obviously it's, you know, a rookie, this is one game. But this Rawls cat, by the way, someone's picking him up in fantasy. But, you know, that's an interesting concept to me. And my repeat Super Bowl appearance, or I should say three-peat Super Bowl appearance, ain't looking very good either. I'm just saying. Anyways,
and
next.
And also, the Bears traded Jared Allen to the Panthers for a 2016 sixth-round conditional pick.
Yeah.
So, Jared Allen for a pack of Skittles is what I'm reading there, right, Weasel?
Yeah. Pretty much what happened with the Bears is that when the time Jared Allen came over to the Bears, the Julius Peppers went over to the Packers.
Right. Essentially, so Allen is replacing Peppers.
Yeah,
right.
he was replacing them. So, previous years, I think they did play like a 4-3 offense, but I think in the past couple years, though, like especially this one, they switched to a 3-4. So they made Jared Allen a linebacker.
Correct.
And the guy, he can, you know, he makes plays like that. He can make plays like, you know, dropping back from a rusher to a defender, and he got some interceptions and stuff like that. He's very athletic. But changing him to a linebacker to having to guard tight ends and
at
stuff.
At this point in his career as
yeah,
well.
He's, yeah, it's late. So he is going from a team that has that made him a linebacker in a 3-4 defense. He goes to a 4-3 team. So maybe that can give him a little jump back into.
Boy, Weasel talking the strategy.
Well, it's the kind of thing that, I mean, you take the guy out of his position. So at least the Bears, they didn't, you know, they did give him up to another team, and most likely, I think the conditional one would go up if he has certain amount of playing time to a fifth round pick or so.
Yeah.
But for the Panthers, I don't know contract wise what they do, but I think they got a good pickup.
It's also a good pick for him because then he goes from the NFC North down to the NFC South.
Oh so. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, he's with the Panthers. Is it the Bucks they play next week? Yes, it is. Jared, he's going to be a busy man if he gets some playing time. I'm just saying. At any rate, Jaguars-Pats, lead us to the inevitability that was, Weasel.
All right, so the Patriots at home crushed the Jaguars 51-17.
Crushed!
Crushed them. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, 33-42, 358 yards and two touchdowns, joined the 400 touchdown club.
His leading receiver in yards once again was who?
Was Gronk.
Gronk!
Yep, Gronk did have four catches for 101 yards.
I'm telling you, the actual MVP of the Patriots squad on offense. That's right, a set
it. So all they went down the middle, that's all they threw, dumped it over him. Most of these yards were after the catch.
Yeah.
Linebacker's just like, all right, safety will get him. Safety's dropping all the way back.
If I'm a safety, I don't want to tackle him. Are you crazy? I don't want that job.
Gronk's like, what? It's like 6'6 and like 2, usually I think, what is it, 230, 240?
Higher.
I think it might be closer to 260. Yeah, I'd have to look it up.
He's like fast, and he's really big.
He defies logic.
Safeties are kind of 215 sometimes, or 220, I would say.
220-ish. If you got a safety that's 240, he's a little big.
So, yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Usually your safety is a little bigger than your corners, though. So your safety is about 240, 240.
Corners 240. Are usually about 2 even, right. And that's heavy.
Yeah, it is. So, but Danny Amendola and Keyshawn Martin, they each had touchdowns. Blake Bortles, 17 of 33, 242 yards, two touchdowns, one INT. And the crazy thing with the Patriots running back core, you got LeGarrette Blount, 18 carries for 78 yards and three touchdowns. Deion Lewis, even he had 8 for 37 and a touchdown, but the guy does add to the receiving game.
Yeah,
five catches. So
that's four running touchdowns. And once again, I make the joke because I can. LeGarrette Blount smoked the defense. He ran up touchdowns in that joint.
So, got Jaguars tight end Clay Harper and wide receiver Alex Hearns. They had touchdown catches of their own. And the Patriots, they were ridiculously good on third down efficiency, going 11 of 14.
Yeah.
Jaguars were 6 of 12. and the Patriots own time of possession 9 minutes more than the Jaguars. So, would you all consider the Patriots the AFC favorites now for the Super Bowl?
I mean, today you have to say that, right? I mean, the Colts are have not started well. They went into this week at risk of 0-3. The Ravens at risk of 0-3 going into this week. The Steelers look promising, but they got big issues, as we'll talk about later all of a sudden. I mean, is there anybody else worthwhile who I'm forgetting here? Oh, yeah, the Broncos are still working on their offense, even though they are doing well. I mean, anybody a threat, honestly?
Right now, probably not. Just the, maybe the Broncos.
Yeah, well, there's the maybe the Broncos. The other defense I could give is the physics of the AFC East. That could be an issue as well. I know that they beat the Bills the first time out, but, you know, that's something. I mean, yeah, it was 40-32. Yeah, it was one score, but everyone says it was closer than it should have been. They scored twice late. I get it. Garbage time touchdowns should be a concern, honestly, because that's when a lot of the scoring in week two and week three came from, was garbage time. Yeah, I get it. The Jags only scored, what, 17? But, you know, that's something that's going to be pretty tough, you know, to deal with if a team goes the distance with the Patriots. Now, is that a problem today? Probably not, because no one's been able to hold Gronk for three quarters, let alone an entire game's worth of stuff. So, the Patriots, the Patriots is a Super Bowl favorite. I can't do it because they don't have enough defense. But who's going to stop them? I mean, are they clear-cut to make the AFC or make the Super Bowl? I mean, at this point, you got to at least consider it. And today, I'd probably say yes, just because everyone else is hurt so bad. Of course, I'm ruling out, you know, the Steelers' defense, where the 9-7 from the six seed could be the difference. Sound about right, guys?
Yeah.
Hurt.
Exactly. Bucks Texans.
Oh, yeah. Well, Gronk is 6'6", 265.
265.
Is that That's craziness.
Talent. By the way, do you want to know who's still 30 pounds heavier than him? J.J. Watt. Speaking of that, transition! Bucks Texans! Oh, J.J. Watt! Segue, I feel good about life. Weasel.
The Texans at home got their first victory of the season with a 19-9 win over the Bucks. Bucks rookie quarterback Jameis Winston, 17-36, 261 yards, one touchdown, one INT. Texans Ryan Mallett, 24-39, 228 yards, one touchdown, one INT. Texans running back Alfred Blue, he had 31 carries for 139 yards, and he had a touchdown.
You're my boy, Blue!
Nicely done. Bucks wide receiver Mike Evans, that guy's back. He had 7 catches for 101 yards. Running back Charles Sims had a receiving touchdown. Titans wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, 8 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown.
You know, I got to say this. I'm the only guy that was even slightly excited when Arian Foster got hurt, because it meant this was coming.
My boy, Blue!
I might have brought that up. You're like, yeah, I'm going to do it.
So? Hey, it was a great idea. I got excited about it, and now it's here. Anyways, continue.
So, pretty fun to talk about, you know, special teams. It's pretty bad that Bucks rookie kicker Kyle Brizda. Yeah.
He was really?
Brizda?
Really?
Brizda? What, is that wrong?
So you're going to walk in this house, get all up on me for Mariota versus Mariota, and basically walk Brizda in and say this guy's name like it's a record scratch and a rap song. Brizda!
Brizda?
Brinza.
Brinza.
Okay, that sounds better.
See, there you go.
There's a boy in there.
Brinza.
So, anyway, the guy was 0-1 on extra points.
Please.
And he was only successful on one of his 4 field goals, but the positive, he made a 58-yarder.
Well, yeah, and honestly, one of those was another long ball towards the end of the game in desperation, too. That miss doesn't bother me, but the two that he missed that were chip shots, very interesting.
And you also got Texans kicker Randy Bullock. 2 of 3 on field goals, but 1 for 2 on extra points. Chris, how many missed extra points is that?
That's 2 in 3 games.
Let's play these guys some tribute. Oh, that's the wrong button, but we'll go with it. Congratulations to your inductment into the Hall of Shame for kicking extra points poorly. Is he missed 2 on the season, right?
Randy Bullock's missed two. He's 3 for 5 on the season. He's missed 1 in week 1 and 1 in week 3.
And he leads the league among kickers for misses in the Hall of Shame so far. Boom.
There's one other player in another game this week that's added to the
Hall of Shame. Yes. What do you guys think about the I'm the Man for the Hall of Shame? Is that good? I don't know. I pull that from the hip, I'll be honest. That's what we do on the show. There's no prep.
So I'm the man, I am that guy type of thing? It gets
but that's
to?
Not the name of the song.
It's not. So.
What, you want me to dub it? I'm that guy. I'm that guy. Yeah. You can tell everybody I'm the guy.
Okay, so a little thing here that I was thinking about. All right, so you got extra points. They were moved from the 2-yard line to the 15-yard line. There's calling it a quote-unquote, a 33-yard field goal. What I'm wondering is, okay, just to make sure, for the 2-yard line, when they kick an extra point, what distance field goal would that be?
From the 2?
Yeah.
Oh, the distance, 8, 10, 20 yards, 21, no, 20 yards. It's from the 3. It's usually from the 2.5.
Used to be.
The dark, yeah, right. So it
used to be.
Right.
Remember,
used to be 2.5, so it used to be a 20-yard field goal.
About a 20-yard field goal? Right. So it's like, I just think about like 13 yards. When you jump up into the 30-yard field goals, that's where you do see misses in the NFL. Not, you know, too much.
Well, and we kind of mentioned it in passing. These guys throughout their, so to speak, their kicking lives in football have just automatic muscle memory. Poof, poof, poof. And now if you bring the machine 13 yards back, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the guy who's lived in his house for 60 years, and you move some things around in the room just a little bit, he starts dropping stuff and knocking things over. Same concept, right? I don't know. That's the best explanation I got.
It's just the distance, I think, they switch from. Because 20 yards, you go all the way to 33 yards.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe like something, I would think maybe you bump it up like 5 yards, you bump it up 7 yards, but that's a pretty big jump. So
yeah, well, the idea was to encourage more two-point conversions,
so
as evidenced by the Steelers against the Niners.
I think you'll have teams like the Texans and Steelers. They'll be like, let's go for two. Why not? Oh, we'll make two of, like, last week for the Steelers. We made 2 two-point conversions, but we'll let our kicker kick this time.
Shake.
Exactly. So makes it a little bit more interesting.
Actually,
but
no, here's a better one. We'll let our kicker kick it this time.
There's been 11 missed extra points this year.
And
last year there was a total of 8 for the whole season.
Let's let the kicker kick it this time.
It's a trap.
Yeah, so people are still waiting for that day where there's going to be a missed extra point that would have tied the game or won the game. Yeah. So
it's coming.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's way longer than anybody wanted to talk about a 19-9 game, especially kicking within it. I kid. The game that I was curious about, well, not the most curious about, but certainly made the cut, Falcons-Cowboys. Now, we all wanted to see what the Cowboys would do without their top receiver, Dez Bryant, and their starting quarterback, Tony Romo. Brandon Whedon did get the start. Had a game manager kind of day, 22 for 26, technically 23 for 26 because he did have one interception. For 232 yards. The Falcons won the game 39-28. Matt Ryan did his thing 24 for 36, 285 yards with 2 touchdowns. But the point of the matter is this. This game was dominated in the first half by the Dallas Cowboys. How on earth did they blow it? In the fourth quarter, they stopped running the bleeping football!
They stopped putting the foot on the throat.
Ah, he's using the anti-Bruce Arians defense. I can't front on that.
This is what happens when you don't do it halftime speech right there.
Something like that. I don't know. I mean, yeah, Jason Garrett or Bruce Arians. Who do you want coaching your team? And not just because the golf cap. The easy answer is Bruce Arians, okay? Bruce Arians was a dang coach of the year when he was still the offensive coordinator on Chris's docket in 2012. Arians! What? From Arian Foster to Bruce Arians. Boom. That was a better segue. Anyways, Devontae Freeman ran the ball a lot on the Cowboys defense. If you ask me, that was a factor. 3
touchdowns.
3 touchdowns, yeah.
30 carries, yes.
Yeah, okay. See, that's a problem. Yeah. Again, unable to read my own writing. Yes. 30 for 141. ridiculous. I mean, that's the most running we've seen against the Cowboys to this point. And then Julio Jones going all Julio Jones on him, had a touchdown as well. Wait, is this?
Julio Jones had two touchdowns.
Yes, he. Oh, I said one, didn't
yes.
I? That's my bad. 164 yards receiving. That part I can read.
Yes. He's tearing it up this year.
A little bit. Leading receiver for the Cowboys, Lance Dunbar, the running back, 10 catches for 100 yards. Not something that's necessarily a bad thing. Look, Brandon Whedon did his job, in my opinion. The interception he threw was at the end of the second half. It only really handed the Falcons 3 points. No one advises you throw interceptions, but as far as actual critical damage done, it was not Brandon Whedon. The defense went home. Granted, this was the toughest offense they faced all year. No offense, Giants fans, but it's the truth. And not running the ball in the fourth quarter the way that they should have is just a completely just asinine concept. Bottom line. Anyways. Speaking of things that were asinine concepts, too many, Johnny Manziel should have gotten the start, did not get the start. Josh McCown gets the start. The Browns lose to the Raiders, however, in a close game, 27-20. Look, guys, we've been talking about Derek Carr, a.k.a. DC4. He went 300 yards in this game, 314, two touchdowns. I mean, yeah, did his job. What do you want me to tell you? Josh McCown, I had to be careful because there was another McCown on the day. More on that later. Okay, first of all, guys, if you have Josh bleeping McCown throwing the ball 49 times, you're probably not going to win the football game. Well, that's what happened. Granted, he did have 341 yards, two TDs, and an INT, but yeah, whatever. In the red zone, the Browns were 1-for-3. Definitely a factor in this
game. You say Josh McCown?
I did say Josh McCown. Luke McCown is the Saints guy.
Gotcha.
Thank you for ruining the spoiler. That was wonderful.
Hey, no problem. That's what I'm here for.
Sound of throwing things at Weasel.
I was just taking.
I threw paper at Weasel. No one's going to hear that, damn it. This is why it sucks when you have like a notebook with like 3 pages left in it. There's no paper sound effects. Crinkle some paper by the mic, Weasel. Make yourself useful. Oh, I threw it at you. Oh. Anyways. the 20s called. They want their radio effects back. Anyways, so, yeah, Latavius Murray doing his thing. 26 carries for 139 yards and a touchdown. Not so much for the Browns. Their top rusher had 10 carries for 36 yards. Not a great day. Amari Cooper had a fumble, but he did have 8 catches for 134 yards in his quest to try to be a receiver-winning Rookie of the Year. The Raiders had 5 sacks of Josh McCown. So I'll put it this way, guys. A lot of people outraged that Manziel didn't start. I wasn't necessarily wounded by it. Do you think that Manziel would have pulled away this win?
I think the thing isn't more that Manziel would have won the game. It's just that you have a guy that's he's been, for his career, he's pretty much a career backup. And
in his starts, he's not been good.
And, yeah, well, in his starts, well, he did great with the Bears 2-3 years ago. But with the Bucks, he did terrible. And then he comes over to the Browns.
Oh, you said Manziel. You meant McCown.
Yeah, McCown. He did, like, 13 touchdowns, one INT or something with the Bears 2 or 3 years ago. Then he goes to the Bucks and stinks it up. And then with the Browns, he just average and stuff.
Well,
got injured.
The Browns, he's not really done anything to lose the job. That's the reason why they kept him. He had the helicopter attempt in week one and got bashed. I mean, so it's not so much that he lost the job as he just got injured out of it.
But it's the kind of thing that you have a guy that, when you spend a first pick on someone, especially after they actually get a win, and that would be more excitement in Cleveland, you take him out, and yeah, the game was pretty close and all, but the thing is that your first round pick, you don't know if he's the guy. And it's,
well, they know he's not the guy.
Correct.
That's the reason why he didn't start.
See, he went all Kanye on you. If that's a great point, I'm gonna let you finish, but they already know he's not a franchise quarterback. He is not a franchise quarterback.
So, but the thing is you're gonna have that doubt. So yeah, you could say he's not, but the guy just he had a he had a pretty lame stat line. It was like, you know, what, like less than 50%, but he had two long touchdown passes. And yeah, you may say that he's not the guy, but you still have to, you know, you still have to give him the time to determine that. Because, yeah, if you want to play McCown and you want to win half your games and then go after having a, you know, a pretty decent defense, good for you. But, I mean, you don't want to have that doubt in your mind.
Well, okay. So, to use your words, he threw two big touchdown passes to Travis Benjamin, and now I'm supposed to anoint him. Mm. No, Weasel. And by the way, you remember that those 110 yards was about, ooh, I don't know, 60%-ish of the passing production. He had two big balls, and now I'm supposed to start him. Oh, wait. See what I did there? You like that? Weasel's like, I can't even stay serious. I'm a very silly cow. Go ahead.
Tom Brady just called. Can you have one of them?
No, they're too big. He needs them deflated. Boom! You set me up for that. I like it. That was beautiful. Yeah. See, this is teamwork!
I was going to say, just Travis Benjamin, you know, he's one that might have been upset about Donovan. Because he had four catches for 45 yards. He had longer touchdowns. He just need more work now for less catches.
Yeah, I mean, catches. But the bottom line is this. I mean, people like, oh, they don't know what they have. No, I'm sorry, Weasel. They know what they have. And Manziel is not the goods. He is just a name on the back of the jersey who's a popular... I mean, I'll put it this way. It's the same reason that I think the Jets picked up Tebow. It wasn't to play him. It was to have a guy with a big name on his back that doesn't necessarily get into the game. It's a goddamn pub move, period.
All right, sell more jerseys.
Yeah, no. I mean, they may have drafted him with the concept. They came for the possibility. They stayed for the jersey sales. You know, and doing what he... let's put it this way. He had a decent game. They don't want to play him anymore and remove all doubt that he's not a franchise quarterback. Some weirdo may give him a pick or something later. Crap, I don't know. When the quarterback in question lost to the Raiders, who aren't a bad team right now, I think we'll agree, they're at least a 2-1 team, you know, I can't blame them for starting McCown when the difference was one touchdown, especially when all that Manziel has to show for himself in 2015 is two big balls. Yeah, I did it again, Weasel. What you going to do?
You did do it again, yeah.
It's a quality argument, though, isn't it?
Hey.
You know what isn't a quality argument? I got nothing for why I put the Fins in the freaking playoffs now. Chris.
The Bills spoiled the Dolphins' home opener with a 41-14 smashing. The Bills jumped out to an early lead and never were threatened by the Dolphins.
Squish the fish, I believe, is what you mean to say, sir.
Turnovers were the difference, as the Dolphins had 3 to the Bills' 0. Tyrod Taylor looked like he did in Week 1, going 21-29, 277 yards with 3 touchdowns. Rookie running back Carlos Williams had 12 carries for 110 yards with a touchdown. Ex-Dolphins tight end Charles Clay had 82 yards on 5 catches.
Yeah, I saw that.
With a touchdown.
Gotta say something.
And Chris Hogan and LeSean McCoy each had a touchdown catch. Ryan Tannehill was 26 for 49, 297 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 INTs. One was returned for a touchdown by linebacker Preston Brown. Rashard Matthews had 6 catches for 113 yards and 2 touchdowns. One looked like a 500 ball as Tannehill was running out, rolling out. And it was like the corner just got lost on it, and you know, Rashard Matthews was like laying on the ground when he caught the ball. Well, Dave, we catch the ball, and he rolled into the end zone.
Oh, yeah, no, it was a ridiculously good play by Matthews. And I'm like, you know, somebody out there was like, yeah, that guy's on my fantasy team. You know, actually, if that is true, somebody was a smart fantasy owner, because he has been doing. I'll give Rashard Matthews credit. I think he's Dark Horse Rookie of the Year candidate so far. Unfortunately, his team is awful. That's not
good. Problem is, no rookie.
Oh, he's not. Well, so much for that effort.
Yeah, I'll take that bet.
I know.
We didn't shake. It doesn't count. We didn't shake.
Shake it off.
Anyways.
Well, the red zone, the Dolphins were 0 for 2, as the Bills were slightly better at 1 for 2. But is his seat getting a little warmer?
A little warmer. I'm glad you asked the warm, because, yeah, it was getting warm already. Dude, going into the season, if he didn't make the playoffs, he was done. Now he's going to underperform? Look, I believe it was Eric Kusilius who said it best. It's better to set the bar at 6-10 and win 7 than it is to have playoff expectations and win 8. And at this point in time, I can't even guarantee the Dolphins are going to do that. I don't know. I'm just saying.
One more. Tannehill, QB. You know, is he really a quarterback that everyone thinks he is, or is he just another Joe Flacco?
Okay, let's... Whoa! Okay, now, see, now I have to check you. Okay, look, in the same way that... Actually, I guess it's the opposite way. In the opposite way that Manziel is not a franchise quarterback... Oh, sorry, Manziel. Is that better, Weasel?
Whatever.
But in the same way that Manziel is not a franchise quarterback... You can't make Tannehill Joe Flacco already. Did you see those interceptions? Two of those were drops. One of them was a drop by a receiver who bobbled it into the hands of that linebacker who got the pick six. You can't put that on Tannehill.
Pick six was a screen. It was like a screen play.
It was a pretty significant interception return. You're right. That's my bad. I got mixed up. The point is this. I'm not feeling like those picks, one of those picks, were Tannehill's fault. He just has three in the stat line. And oh, by the way, The Bills may not be the top defense in the NFL right now, but they're definitely top five. That's not a question. And he goes out and does this. I mean, you know, I'll put it this way. If Tannehill is forced to throw the ball 49 times, if most quarterbacks are forced to throw the ball 49 times, that is a bad sign. You know, now granted, he kind of had to throw it that much because they were down so quick so late. Hey, we're down 30. Let's get that running game rolling. You know. Anyway, so let's go ahead and hit the break. This guy, Joe Flacco, Tannehill. Hater. Hey, you're not even a Bills fan. I don't get it. You had the Dolphins making the playoffs, too.
I did. No, I had the Bills making the playoffs. It still looks pretty good for that one.
Hey, Bills one, yeah. It's looking decent.
You guys thought I was crazy when I picked the Bills making the playoffs.
I still think you're crazy. You just might be right in that case.
Just Tyrod, I mean, guy's craziness.
Hey, let's talk about a quarterback. Another quarterback is not bad. Tyrod Taylor, my dude, he hit a long pass that was a perfect ball. I think it was to Percy Harvin.
Yeah,
usually is when he hits a big play. I know Tyrod Taylor's not a.
Huh?
Tyrod Taylor's not a rookie.
Was it Ravens? Right? I think he was.
Correct.
Yeah.
He was with the Ravens for a couple years.
Very good.
Out of Virginia Tech.
Talent. Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
All right, let's go ahead and hit the break, guys. Listening to the Student of the Game on NGSC Sports. You're listening to NGSC Sports Radio. So, I think a song with the word prayer in it is appropriate for, like, Dolphin fans, because they don't have a prayer of making the playoffs now. I'm already mailing it in that my number six seed is screwed up. I got that one wrong. I don't know. I can look on there and probably we can look in our sheets. I don't know if you remember off the top of your head, Chris, but I'm pretty bad on that particular portion of my predictions for that sixth seed. I'm thinking, yeah. Are you actually looking
at
it?
No.
Mire yourself in your failure.
No, you have Dolphins as the fifth seed. I had Dolphins as the fifth seed. Weasel had Dolphins as the sixth seed.
Yep. Looking a lot better than y'all right now.
I had the Bills as...
Shut up, Weasel.
I had the Bills as the sixth seed, of mine.
Stupid. Oh, wait.
Hey, someone had the Texans as number five, so...
Not even touching that. I called that a bad idea when it happened, and I'm the one most sympathetic to the Texans in the room. Mm. Hashtag man crush. Just saying.
These are pretty bad.
Weasel Weez. Yeah. Chris, get the spelling bee started.
Yeah, turnovers were the difference, and so was Darren Sproles as the Eagles beat the Jets 24-17. For the first win of the season as the Jets dropped their first game. Darren Sproles returned a punt 89 yards for a touchdown in the second quarter to put the Eagles up 10-0. Sproles would also have a touchdown run later in the second quarter. Now with just over 4 minutes left before half, Brandon Marshall had a catch with the Jets driving in Eagles territory when he thought it'd be a good idea to pitch the ball to a teammate. The only problem was an Eagles defender's helmet was in the way and the Eagles recovered.
It's a trap! I don't know. I didn't have, but I think that would have been appropriate there too.
The Eagles would take the ball down to the field, and Sam Bradford hit Ryan Matthews on a wheel route to take a 24 to halftime lead. Yeah, Brandon Marshall after the game said, "Yeah, it's probably the worst play in NFL history,
or at least of his career."
No, he's in NFL history. Worst play ever.
I can't go that far because the Niner game happened. Just saying.
Yeah, the Jets would.
You should have seen Weasel's face. He's like, meh.
It's like, was the one interception return for a touchdown the worst play, or was it the other one? And
let me tell you why the second one was worse, is because when the second one happened, I honestly just thought it was another replay of the first one. I bleep you not. I'm like, they just played the second one again. And like, if you were sitting next to me, no, I'm not saying this to get on to you. If you were sitting next to me at the ale house, that's exactly what happened. It's like, oh, great, they're showing that again. Wait, why does the score see 14? Damn it!
I thought Tyrann Mathieu caught the first interception. What is...
What's going on here? Yeah, I didn't take the time to look at the defender's number. All I just saw was red running into the end zone that wasn't with a gold helmet on it. I don't know. Anyways.
Anyway, the Jets would make a push in the second half, shutting down the Eagles' offense, but came up short with Ryan Fitzpatrick's three INTs. One was an underthrown ball in the end zone.
So, three interceptions and the worst play in football history. That's a great offensive scheme. Yeah. That's a bold strategy, Cottam. Let's see if it works for him.
Ryan Fitzpatrick was 35 for 58, 283 yards, two touchdowns with those three INTs. Besides that fumble, Brandon Marshall had 10 catches for 109 yards and a touchdown. Jeremy Curley had a touchdown catch for the Jets. Sam Bradford was 50% for 118 yards with a touchdown. Ryan Mathieu had 108 yards on 25 carries, but lost a fumble in the fourth quarter. Difference in game was turnovers, four to the Jets, one to the Eagles. What's with the Eagles offense? Only four players had receptions out of the 14 completions Sam Bradford had. One was a receiver, one was a tight end, and two were running backs.
So we've had the thing where tight end mania with Zach Ertz and Celek. That happened in the Nick Foles era, you know. Era, it was 2 years, whatever. But you see what I'm getting at. That song isn't new from my perspective. I don't know if you think any different, Weasel, but he's like, nah, whatever.
Nah.
But the part that amazed me is the Eagles successfully moving the football as a team at all. The way they started out. I mean, now granted, on the ground they had some good action from Ryan Mathieu. I'm glad to see that happening. Apparently, that practice squad player from Oregon on the Cowboys gave them enough insight to blow up that offense, so it made it look worse than it really was. Yeah, that's right. I said it. Practice squad player for the Cowboys who was from Oregon helped them blow up Chip Kelly's offense last week. So, and by last week, I mean two Sundays ago. Whatever. Shut up. The point is... the Eagles are happy because they won a game. I get it. The silver lining, if I'm a Jets follower, pay attention, Chris. You actually probably know what it is. What's the silver lining in this game? Four turnovers, right. And you only lost by seven.
Right.
Against an alleged high-powered offense. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. So, also, at least one New York team can do well in the red zone, too, for the two word the Jets, just saying. There you go. So, another team that successfully moved the ball on the ground, except, you know, we kind of expect it. Chargers-Vikings! Weasel.
The Vikings at home beat the Chargers 31-14. Vikings quarterback Teddy Bridgewater was 13 of 24, 121 yards, 190. Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers, 21 of 34, 246 yards, 1 touchdown, 190. Kellen Clemens added 5 of 6 for 63 yards and a touchdown. Vikings running back Adrian Peterson, 20 carries, 126 yards, and 2 touchdowns. You got the rookie running back Melvin Gordon, 14 carries for 51 yards. And Chargers wide receiver Keenan Allen, 12 catches for 103 yards and 2 touchdowns. There were some Vikings that caught some passes, but nothing really. Yeah, nothing really. Nothing was over 19 yards. It's like, yeah, don't like him gonna mention anyone over there. So. Bridgewater, he was 13 of 24, 54%. The long pass, 19 yards. Now, I think it's kind of, the guy likes to, I think he throws a lot better in shotgun formation, you know, with the handoff last year, but this year he's not so much because of, he's got that guy, Adrian Peterson. Does that affect his completion percentage in a negative way? Considering this guy was, he was looking to be one of only three quarterbacks in NFL history to pass one season with a completion percentage of over 70%.
Yeah, how much things can change in a year, right?
Yeah, well,
you know, your top player could be lost to legal issues, and your rookie can have a 70-something percentage, and then it all changes next year, right? I think you're onto something with an adjustment having to be made. You know, a young player like Bridgewater was as gun shy as he still may be from week one. Because we knew eventually Peterson was going to run up the ball on somebody, right? Anybody shocked that two of his three games are 100-yard carries?
No.
Right? You know.
It didn't take long to get going, so.
Well.
Because we were like, the first week, what the heck?
Well, I said what the heck, too, but it wasn't necessarily because of the Vikings. Because I didn't expect the Niners to be able to do anything that solid, and they really weren't able to. You know, they fixed up whatever they were supposed to do on the trenches, and they also played two soft teams back-to-back as well. That's right, I said it. The Lions are soft, and the Chargers are sulfur. Sulfur. Is that S-O-F-F-E-R? Anyways, so, I mean, from that standpoint, anybody shocked that the Vikings could move the ball on a soft defense? I'm not. And Bridgewater will need to cure his troubles because at some point, the Niners have shown the blueprint, as they say. Anybody who's got a tougher line up front, hell, I'll take the Packers with an improved performance from B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews moving to the middle linebacker. That is the most challenging threat within the division they have. And if they manage to slow Adrian Peterson, stop him from getting a few big carries, stop him from converting third downs, and Bridgewater has to throw it, rough day, my friend. Weasel nods.
Yeah. It's just
he
that
nods in fear.
It's, you gotta wonder about the for the long passing game. Their wide receivers, I think, are right now it's pretty respectable.
They're
core.
Solid.
So yeah,
I'll definitely call it solid.
And Mike Wallace, yes, he's gonna get those slant passes. He's gonna get those you know, catches, and he can get some yards after the catch. It's just that
ain't why they're paying him.
The guy, yeah, he's the home run threat, and just Bridgewater, they have to open up the playbook and let that kind of thing happen. So
Bridgewater is not that great at throwing the ball deep.
Yeah, his arm strength is questionable. So
he's good short, mid range, across the middle, and everything like that. If you roll him out, he's good. But if you try to throw the ball deep on there, he puts a little too much air underneath it, and DBs can recover
in this
league, get to the ball.
Yeah,
and that's what happened week one when he had I think Charles Johnson streaking down the left sideline first drive of the game. And the corner got back over there. If that ball had a little more zip on it, it was a touchdown. Different story of the game would have been that Viking game.
Mm-hmm.
Niners.
Yeah, the Niners still would have won, probably. But
it was
only
at the beginning of this game. I mean, then they...
It sets a different tone.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the Vikings went and missed a field goal right after that play. So
I don't know. All legitimate points from my perspective. So, at any rate, I was curious to see how this next game would go. A lot more defense in it than I thought, but hey, walk us through Broncos, Lions, Chris.
For most of the first half, there was a defensive battle, but Peyton Manning realized he was playing against the Lions secondary.
Oh, God.
And threw downfield balls for his receivers, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, to go up and get. And he did the same thing in the end zone for tight end Owen Daniels to put the game away in the fourth quarter, 24-12 against the Lions.
Well, in fairness, I wouldn't call 11 yards down the field, but he did complete some long balls, including one. That pass you're talking about to Thomas at the end of the half on a 4th-and-1, ballsy play, to say the least. And, you know, but I didn't think Peyton Manning could throw the ball that far anymore. Ahem. Anyways.
The Broncos defense forced 3 turnovers and limited the Lions to only 28 yards on the ground. Actually, two of those interceptions were pretty nice catches by the Broncos secondary.
Oh yeah, well,
that was a diving catch. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, it was, and there was a safety that made a heck of a reach too. That wasn't the diving catch. The other
that was the third one.
Was
a
fantastic read. I think all that Stafford did wrong is forget that there was a safety in that spot instead of a linebacker, and he made quite an athletic play to fingertip it and bring it in too. Actually, all the interceptions were pretty solid. Because the interception of Manning allows me to shout out Hello Team Nata for batting the ball at the line.
Yeah, I was getting to that one. Peyton Manning was 31-42, 324 yards with 2 touchdowns to INT, which was off Hello Team Nata's hand.
Beauty.
Matt Stafford was 31-45, 282 yards, a touchdown. And he also lost the fumble in the fourth quarter. Demaryius Thomas had 9 catches, 92 yards, and a touchdown, but he lost the fumble. Emmanuel Sanders hauled in 6 catches for 87 yards. Megatron had 8 catches for 77 yards, and rookie running back Amir Abdullah had a touchdown catch. Don't know if you can put this under missed extra point, but Matt Prater had his extra point blocked
blocked, yes.
So it's technically not really missed because it was blocked. The Lions are 0-3 this year. What can they do to turn around their season?
You know, quick note on the game, too. Demaryius Thomas had a fumble that was recovered and taken to the house. Problem is, Whistle blew the ball down by contact. So when it was reviewed, the Broncos could only recover the football at the point of recovery and didn't get the touchdown.
I mean, the Lions can only get the ball.
I said Broncos. Correct. Yeah, the Lions can only get the ball at the point of recovery. Now, granted, the touchdown in question only makes it 24-12. Owen Daniels' last touchdown still makes a difference, but...
the Lions went on to score a touchdown that season anyway.
True, but that puts more time on the clock.
All right.
See what I'm saying? So, it's interesting stuff all the way around. I think the Broncos' defense still would have held on. I'm not going to say it's so bad that they had a permanent residence camped in the backfield as they did against the Ravens in week one, but it was pretty bad. Very smart schemes, too, with the way they work DeMarcus Ware in. The first sack of the game, DeMarcus Ware completely came untouched because they had a look, two linebackers over the D-tackle, and they sat the linebackers back while the tackling guard ended up over-focusing on the inside. The center blocked nobody, and DeMarcus Ware came in free. Very interesting play call and scheme. I mean, you know, you think Gary Kubiak is close to... It was a defensive coordinator at some point or something. Oh, wait! Anyways. Colts. Titans. Weasel.
The Colts avoided an 0-3 start with a 35-33 road win against their division rival, the Titans.
By the way, 14th comeback win in the career of the comeback commander, Andrew Luck.
Yeah, good for him. Titans rookie quarterback, Marcus...
I sent some... Yeah, good for him.
Oh, I mean...
You're playing against someone that was high danger Luck in fantasy this week, right?
What's that?
I said, were you playing against someone that day? Andrew Luck is the quarterback in your fantasy?
No,
league?
Oh, okay. No, but...
I was half expecting him to say yes. That was a good question. Weasel.
So, rookie quarterback Marcus Mariota, he went into the game with a 6-0 touchdown ratio. Though, in the second quarter, he had an interception return 69 yards.
All right.
For a touchdown by Colts safety Dwight Lowry. And that guy, Dwight Lowry, intercepted him again in the fourth quarter.
This is Dwight Lowry.
Mariota finished 27-44, 367 yards, two touchdowns, and those two INTs.
Hey, you can't blame that first one, though, man. That was in Delanie Walker's hands.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can't really blame the first one on him. He put the ball where it needed to be.
Don't be hating.
Maybe not in the triple coverage, but...
The
ball is where it should have been.
They should have interceptions and half interceptions.
Interception-ish?
I don't know. If it bounces off the receiver's hands, it should be called a fumble for that receiver.
Hey, they can't even figure out what a catch is. There's no way that stat's going to fly. I'm just saying.
So, Colts quarterback Andrew Luck, he finished 18 of 30, 260 yards, two touchdowns, two fourth quarter late touchdowns, and two INTs.
Wait, is that Andrew Luke?
Now, he did rally his team back from a 27-14 deficit with two touchdowns 1 minute apart. With 7 minutes remaining in the game, he had a 35-yard touchdown to rookie wide receiver Philip Dorsett. Shortly after, Lowry got a second interception.
Lowry.
And then, with the next play being an 11-yard touchdown to wide receiver Dante Moncrief. Now, Titans third and out then brought forth a Colts running back, Frank Gore. Former 49er.
Yes. Where's my Christmas card? Oh, it's a little early yet.
He had a touchdown run that put the Colts up 35-27. Mariota, he led the Titans to a goal line touchdown run by rookie fullback Jalston Fowler. The two-point conversion went to Fowler. Didn't go so well. He failed on the run and got injured. That's not good for them.
Yeah.
So, other players to note, you got Gore to go 18 carries for 86 yards and two touchdowns. Antonio Andrews for the Titans, 12 for 49. Colts wide receiver T.Y. Hilton had 4 for 94. Titans wide receiver Kendall Wright, 7 for 95. So,
by the way, Wright and Andrews both had touchdowns if you're keeping track for fantasy.
All righty.
Boom.
So the Colts were favorites to win the, you know, the Super Bowl. I guess, you know, at least me and some other people said it too.
No. Don't just say some other people. Me and not Kyle. That's.
And so what I'm wondering is, are they still favorites to win their own division?
Well, I mean, at this point, you have to say yes. I mean, so what's the record breakdown? The Texans are 1-2. The Colts are 1-2. The Jags are 1-2. The Titans are 1-2.
Right.
Oh, snap.
But if you go to AFC, Texans beat the Bucs, which is the NFC, and Titans beat the Bucs.
Well,
so
actually,
really,
no, it goes to division record first.
Right, so the Colts would be number one.
Because they have a divisional win.
Right, no one else has played in the division. You know what I'm saying?
Colts are first place at 1-2 with this win.
And Jags are technically number two because they won against an AFC opponent, not an NFC opponent.
Whereas the other two teams both beat the Bucs. So, boom! Quality analysis. Yeah. So, there you go. And here's some more quality analysis of a game that doesn't have much to analyze. Steelers-Rams.
Oh, gosh. The Steelers on the road beat the Rams 12-6. Big Ben Roethlisberger was 20 of 24, 192 yards, had an interception, but late in the third quarter. Steelers got a big scare. They had a stumbling Rams defender. He ran into Big Ben's knee and causing a fumble. So Big Ben was carted off the field.
But more important than the fumble, it caused a left knee buckle.
Yes. He was carted off the field, but there is some good news for Steelers fans. The MRI.
Relatively good news.
Relatively, yeah. It's instead of losing the guy for the season, because anytime that kind of thing happens, you freak out. But the MRI showed that he had a sprained MCL and a bone bruise. So that's looking like to be about 4 to 6 weeks missed. And I think pretty much the Steelers are saying, yeah, we're going to more lean towards the 6 week side.
That's a wise thing to do with a quarterback that's, what, 12 years in?
Yeah, he's been in there. He was drafted the same year as
Eli
and Rivers. Very so, then you got the backup, Michael Vick. Michael Vick was 5 of 6 for 38 yards. More on him later. Cornerback Nick Foles, 19 of 28, 197 yards and 1 INT.
Yep.
A guy got 6 carries for 9 yards. Why would I mention him? Well, the guy is rookie running back for the Rams, Todd Gurley. So,
the Gurley man couldn't run the football.
Couldn't run the football, but the guy, they took the time for his ACL injury recovery from last year when he was with the
when he got drafted, you mean?
Yeah, when he got drafted, Georgia.
Georgia Bulldogs.
Georgia, yes. Yep. So, any predictions for him? Because that was just to get his feet wet a little bit, because they're saying this guy's kind of like one of the bigger names to go out, like since like possibly like an Adrian Peterson.
That's all cute.
Talent-wise, but...
That's all cute, but here's what I'll say up front. If you're a rookie trying to run in the division they're in bad enough, let alone your big debut is supposed to be in a Steelers game, that's a rough patch.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a rookie running back in the NFL, yay! And I have to play the Seahawks twice, and the Niners twice, and the Cardinals twice. Sure, we might win these games, or not, but I'm not going to get any real noise out of that.
I think it'll be interesting to watch him, though, throughout the season. You got to Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell. He was back from a two-game suspension. He did have 19 carries for 62 yards and a touchdown. Rams wide receiver Kenny Britt. Yeah, he came out of nowhere. 7 catches, 102 yards. Steelers Antonio Brown had 11 for 108. So you got Michael Vick out there for at least about the 4 to 6 weeks. How do y'all see him doing with his time with Big Ben out?
I don't know where you stand on this, Chris. Adjust me if you're in a different direction. But when he started out as an Atlanta Falcon, he relied more on his legs, one could argue. Not one could argue. That's what happened. In fairness, he was probably among the best quarterbacks in the league throwing the ball on the run, but couldn't hit anybody in the pocket. I mean, Roddy White, who is now a pretty solid receiver, regarded as one in the NFL, looked mundane because his numbers were terrible because of Vic, many people would say. Me, one of them. However, I say this. In this stage in his career, he's not going to be running the football like he did. And I don't know who Vic's backup is at this point because his tendency to be injured kind of something you should be worried about as a Steeler fan. But I think game management is obviously the answer, right? We've seen what D'Angelo Williams did without Le'Veon, because they can run the football. Le'Veon. And then Le'Veon Bell is amazing. We know what that is. That Steeler O-line is not bad either. But now everybody's going to see it coming. Everybody's going to go after the run. And, oh, by the way, your opening game as a Steeler starter is probably the most dangerous rivalry in the sport right now in Ravens Steelers. Ouch. You know, even if the Ravens are struggling, it's always a tough game between these two teams. So he may do okay over a stretch of 4 to 6 weeks, but I don't like his opening week. Put it that way right now.
Bring in the flex bone.
Maybe.
Bring in the flex bone with him.
I think that at least a positive for Vic getting out there. He will get back not next week, but the following week. One wide receiver, Martavius Bryant.
Yes, I like him as a player.
And so I think he'll be all right. And but his time, just from being a Falcons quarterback when he and then coming back years later with the Eagles, he really changed as a quarterback. It's like, yeah, he's more definitely more of the pocket passer. He was actually completing passes from there.
Yeah.
But
unfortunately, the years after that, he seemed to forget it all, and not to mention the Eagles' O-line got worse, and it all went to heck in a handbasket.
I think that'll be all right. So, but yeah, it was a big scare for that game. So
I don't know. It's crazy. So a game that was closer than I thought it would be was Saints-Panthers. The other guy, the other McCown, the backup who talks in a commercial by Verizon, that backup just got a chance. He could really show himself. Well, he didn't do bad. Luke McCown, 31 for 38, 310 yards with an interception. And the loss to the Panthers, 22-27.
It's kind of funny that Drew Brees has been with the Saints since about 2006 or so, and he has not missed a game. And so then you have Luke McCown's commercial come on, start talking about, you know, how he's a backup and all that good stuff.
Uh-oh, you're calling the jinx card.
1 week away, 1 week after, you have Luke McCown starting as the quarterback for the Saints.
Don't be such a drama queen, weasel.
I'm just saying.
It was 2 weeks after.
Still. Just saying.
The Saints on the ground were equally atrocious. 24 carries for 70 yards. I mean, the offense was not balanced. Luke McCown did his job, but he threw a pick. Cam effing Newton. 20 completions, 31 attempts, 315 yards, 2 touchdowns. 8 catches by tight end Greg Olsen with 2 touchdowns. Oh, look, those 2 touchdowns. Ha-ha. And then, of course, he had a touchdown on the ground as well to Cam Newton. I mean, look, Breeze is out, and the defense that you tried to revamp to be a stronger group ain't working out, and your revamped running game is less than 3 yards a carry. Of course you're not winning the football game. And you're even in the Kardashian sisters of the NFL, the NFC South. I already have to apologize to you guys because I said the Panthers wouldn't be a factor with Kelvin Benjamin out. Well, apparently they're getting by throwing the ball 8 times or more to Greg Olsen for now. So, hey, maybe they'll three-peat the stupid NFC South anyway. It's crap.
Oh, I gotta get past the Falcons.
Yeah, the Falcons. The overrated Falcons. Oh, I'm sorry. Spoiler alert. Anyways. So, another game that was divisionally important and awesome, albeit it was a 2-0 team against an 0-2 team, the Bengals and the Ravens. The Ravens seemed to have it all locked up towards the end of the game. But as it worked out, on the final drive, Andy Dalton led his squad to the final touchdown to A.J. Green. And 28-24, the victory for the Bengals. Dalton had an interception and a lost fumble, but 3 touchdowns, 383 yards, and 20 for 32 did his job. Joe Flacco threw the ball 49 times. Usually a recipe for disaster. In fairness, he only threw one pick, had 362 yards in the air with 2 touchdowns. But the Ravens were 18 for 36 total running the football. There's your difference right there. No balance on offense. But as Weasel put it, Steve freaking Smith. 13 catches for the Ravens, 186 yards and two touchdowns, showing once again why the Carolina Panthers, at least for football reasons, shouldn't have shipped him. Of course, there's some alleged drama between him and Cam Newton, but yeah, that's a different topic for a different day. A.J. Green, though, his performance just a bit better. 10 catches, 227 yards, two touchdowns, and Marvin Jones contributed a touchdown as well for the Bengals. Look, guys, I get it that you cut down on the Ginger Ninja's performance in the playoffs, but in the regular season, the past three games versus the Ravens, my dude is 3-0 and makes clutch plays in regular season games, albeit divisional ones. Now, if and when the Bengals make the playoffs, which should they do so like I predict, then we'll reopen Weasel's hater conversation of the Ginger Ninja in the playoffs in the first round. Sound good?
Alrighty then.
At least, I give you props. You resisted the urge to bring it up in that analysis that I gave. I mean, you're advancing as a human being. And I already know what your response is. He was playing Joe Flacco, Kyle. What'd you think I was supposed to say? All right. Well, from my perspective anyway, it's time for the bad news. Stupid study hall. All right, Chris, what happened?
Weasel and I both were 13-2. You were 12-3, so Weasel is 30-17 on the season.
First winning week as a panel. It's about bleeping time.
In a big way, too, I'm just saying.
Yeah, seriously, 15 wins is legit. 12 wins is legit.
Yeah, yeah.
I got 12 wins, I'm losing a game. This is crap.
13 is legitter.
Legitter isn't a word, but you still happen to be right somehow.
It still works.
So Weasel has a 2-game lead on me, 4-game lead on you. So.
And are we both? Did we all pick the Packers tonight?
We all picked the Packers. Right.
Damn it! I'm still creeping up. Shut up. Game one, Chris.
Thursday night we got the Ravens at the Steelers.
Let's see, Ravens Steelers. Steelers.
Did anybody catch how Weasel's now officially comfortable going first?
Yeah. It's like, huh? What? Yeah.
No,
a couple weeks ago it was like, yeah. What? Huh?
We all were. Huh? And now it's like, oh, this is my house. Weez. Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy. So, it's we'll see how different the Steelers are without one Ben Roethlisberger. But I'd say, you know, that there is still a passing game with the Ravens. I mean, Steve Smith, you got to respect him, but they're looking for that win. But I'm going to go with the Steelers. Based on the running game, and they could still have the passing game.
Homer.
I'm going to go with the Ravens in this one. It's going to be a smash mouth in this game. Without Big Ben as that factor, even though the Ravens' defense isn't probably as good as it used to be, but Big Ben is that big factor there. I'm going to go with the Ravens.
You know, going into week three, the Steelers were the number one offense. And then last week happened. Mercy. You know, just because this game is the game that it is, there is no good answer here. I mean, it's Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams versus the Ravens, or I gotta pick Joe Flacco. Granted, he does have Steve Smith. And that Steve Smith reason, yeah, I guess I'm going Ravens.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a tough game. I think the only thing keeping me from picking the Steelers is the fact that I'm not a homer. Next game!
I think part of it, you got Terrell Suggs is out for the season, and he's the huge part of their defense, so that's kind of inched away, inshored the Steelers with that.
No, I agree with you, but...
They pulled the Bengals down to the wire.
They did.
So that's the only reason why I would have gone with Big Ben out, and they played well against the Bengals. That's one of the Ravens.
Fair enough. Next game.
Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, you get the Jets at the Dolphins over in London.
Holy crap.
Jolly old England.
Jets, Dolphins. Defense with the Dolphins. I don't know. It's a little questionable this week, but I think he's going to hold on to the ball this time. You know, let's not do any errant laterals or anything. So
none of the worst plays in football history. Yes.
Fantasy football, you lose 2 points to that. Just saying.
In your league, anyway.
So, but I think the Jets still have a decent football team around them. Defense is revived, so I will go with the Jets.
Chris,
yeah, I'm going Jets too. Dolphins only respect right now. So there's no way they're going to win. I got the Jets.
Yeah, all the way around. Next game.
You got the Jags at the Colts.
Yeah, go ahead, Weasel.
Jags-Colts? I guess the Colts can win another game. The Jags, you know, they're still trying to improve out there, but I see Luck throwing more than two touchdowns. It'll be before the fourth quarter.
Oh,
so his two touchdowns were actually in the mid-fourth quarter of last week's game. So, but Luck will be it. So I pick the Colts.
Chris?
I'm going Colts. It's a divisional game. These Jags, they've been playing pretty well except for this past weekend. No one plays really well against Patriots.
Not lately, it seems.
So I'm going to go Colts.
I got the Colts, too, not because of Andrew Luck, but because of Frank Gore. And anybody knows that the Patriots got four running touchdowns on them? I have no reason to believe that won't happen to the that won't happen there, no matter how bad the Colts line is, because of a balanced offense that'll come to the field. Next
game is you got the Giants at the Bills.
Wow. This is it's actually a tougher game. Because with the Giants, I mean, they got they do have that guy, Odell Beckham Jr. So he's always been someone, but the running game is like, So, said,
what is their running game like? Okay.
That's not, nothing impressive out there. So, one more time, Giants.
Bills.
Tyrod Taylor, I'm impressed. They got a, about like four running backs that are good over in Buffalo. I think McCoy's hurt.
Yeah. But both teams have a good running back core.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with the Bills.
Chris?
Yeah, I'm going to go Bills too. I don't think the Giants have enough defense against the Bills, really.
Yeah.
So
let me break down Weasel's analysis right there. Oh, the Giants are pretty good. They're good, 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 good. Screw it, Bills. Next game.
We got the Panthers at the Bucks.
Ooh, a little division kind of thing here. So
that's a lot of division. Well, the division is unworthy as it is the Kardashian sisters of the NFL, but yeah.
I think it'll be interesting to see if Jared Allen will be out there. So I think he'll be a boost for them because he's like with the crowd too. The guy's a boost. So, anyways, with the Panthers, I see some offense going there. It's nice. Greg Olsen's back out there, and so I will go with the Panthers.
Yeah, no doubt I got Panthers against the Bucks.
You got a team that's got Cam bleeping Newton, and your lead is Jared Allen just because the trade, you homer.
Yeah, Panthers. I was mentioning.
Next game.
Eagles Skins.
Skins, you don't really know what you're getting out of them. And
Boxer Chops
Matt Jones, I'm like, I don't like that guy. But
I hate his face.
So Skins and
Eagles.
Eagles finally got a win, but it's gonna be. I think this is gonna be one of those squeaker games. So I'm gonna go Eagles.
Yeah, it's like a toss up in between these two teams how they're playing this year. Don't know who's gonna win. I'm gonna go Eagles.
You know, yeah, you don't know what you're gonna get with the Skins. Yeah, because the Eagles are nice and predictable.
Yeah.
Just because I'm bitter about what happened last week, and even though it'll probably mean I'll miss this game, I got the Eagles.
Next, you got the Raiders or the Bears.
Raiders and Bears.
Anybody?
Well, so. Yeah, this is kind of bad. Yeah, I think Jimmy Clausen.
Because
so
Jimmy Clausen.
That makes my pick.
Yeah,
the Raiders.
Alright, you got the Texans at the Falcons.
Texans Falcons. Julio Jones. I don't know. Over 10 catches, over 200 yards. Maybe. We'll see. So I got the Falcons.
I'm going Falcons too. They just got a hot hand right now.
That offense versus Ryan Mallett. This isn't tough. Next.
You get the Chiefs at the Bengals.
Ah.
Yes.
Yeah, this is actually a tougher
this
one.
This is actually a compelling game. Not this other thing you said was interesting with Giants Bills.
Yeah, well.
Hi.
I'm actually going to go with the Chiefs on this one.
Uh-oh, so, you're already calling it.
It's a trap. Yeah, it's one of those games, but the offense, we'll see what they do. They are playing Monday Night Football, so, but I see a running game with the Chiefs. So I got Jamal Charles and the Chiefs.
Yeah, I got the Bengals defense shutting down the Chiefs. Still, they won't have another touchdown if they get one tonight by a receiver. They won't have one against the Bengals. So I'm gonna go Bengals.
Well, what position was it that made the Bengals' defense look bad last week? Who was it? You were saying before the show, Weasel? It was Steve Smith, right?
Yeah.
What position does he play? Really? No one's going to do any audience participation?
And wide receiver?
You guys suck. Yes, wide receiver. And oh, by the way, the streak lives on. Well, maybe. We'll see what happens in Monday Night Football. But the streak is 18 games in. I have no reason to believe it'll be any different against the Bengals. I got the Bengals. Granted, if I'm wrong, it's because of the Chiefs' defense. Anyways, next game.
You have the Browns at the Chargers.
Weasel.
Well, who's starting for the Browns, but no.
Yeah, because they're going to pull McCown now, right? I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm just going to say Chargers. It's Rivers, yeah. Chargers.
Yeah, I'm going Chargers, too.
Yeah, no matter how soft that Chargers defense is, the Browns aren't going to win a shootout. I, too, have the Chargers.
Yeah, you got the Packers, Niners.
Anybody?
Yeah, yeah, Didn't Packers, so. Yeah.
Moving on.
You got the Rams, Cardinals.
Cardinals are on fire, especially in defense, so wondering how Todd Gurley's going to do, but he's kind of got a bad matchup, so I'll go with the Cardinals.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go Cardinals because St. Louis seems to have a decent defense. They don't have a great offense against this Cardinals defense.
I'm selling Nick Foles, too. I mean, this they'll make it closer than it should be, but I have the Cardinals, and if the Rams win, I deserve to get it wrong. Bingo. Next.
Vikings at the Broncos.
Wow. Interesting.
Broncos. It's kind of a team that you always think offense. But this year, actually, the defense for the Broncos has been pretty impressive.
Not like I've said that the past few weeks.
I know, but you don't hear it. So, Vikings, I don't know, but I'll go with the Broncos in this game.
Well, I'm going to the Broncos, too. That defense there, Minnesota struggled against the Niners first week.
Yeah.
They're going to have the same kind of issues here against the Broncos. So I'm going to go Broncos.
DeMarcus Ware, Von Miller up front with, I forget the defensive tackle's name, but the guy replacing Terrence Knighton is, good. So Sylvester Williams, I could have that wrong, but the point is, that's a good juxtaposition between that front of the Niners and the front of the Broncos. And oh, by the way, the front of the Broncos has Aqib Talib behind them. Though you may have backed Michael Vick as a homer before you backed Teddy Bridgewater as a homer, I can see why I, too, have the Broncos.
Next Sunday night, you got the Cowboys at the Saints.
Cowboys at the Saints?
No, I'm just kidding.
It's actually a tougher game. Yeah,
because of Brandon Wheaton is the reason why this is compelling.
Huh. I'm going to go Cowboys in this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm going to go Cowboys in this, even though Sean Payton said he's going to start utilizing C.J. Spiller a little more. Hopefully they'll use him like he did with Darren Sproles when Darren Sproles was there, or maybe Reggie Bush, how he does, out of the backfield.
I see what you
mean. But, they said Breeze might start again this week. I still got Cowboys.
Yeah, Breeze and Spiller have to be on the field to be effective. That O-line will prevent it from happening. I, too, have the Cowboys. We are not really mixing games much here,
Jordan. No, we only got two so far.
Oh, great.
And then we got the Lions at the Seahawks.
Lions-Seahawks. Marshawn Lynch? Who knows? What's he going to do? But it's still, they still got, I think, Jimmy Graham. I think some people, especially last week, they were talking, hey, is Greg Olsen one of the top tight ends now in the NFL over Jimmy Graham?
Yes.
Yeah, he may have heard that. And he was like, no.
Oh, hell no.
Give me the ball.
Actually, no, that was more a missed tackle, but that was a good ample.
But I'll still take the Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm taking the Seahawks, too. You don't know what those Lions team are getting.
It's not so much Marshawn Lynch that's the reason why I'm picking this team. It's because this dude, Thomas Rawls, will come out and do what he did last week if he's asked to. The only guy on the defense that I can even really name happens to be Haloti Ngata. Just throwing it out there. Oh, actually, no. Rasheem Mathis is a former Jaguar that's a corner out there. So... But yeah, Seahawks, whatever. Dang it. I guess I'm creeping up!
two games difference.
Yeah. Anyways.
You can maybe tie. We'll see.
We'll score again, watch.
No, I know that's what's going to happen already. Because predictable hatred or something. Is that even a thing, predictable hatred? I don't know. But one thing you can predict, We'll be here next week breaking down the next week of action. Of course, check out the website, ngsesports.com. Of course, check out Weasel on Twitter. Hit him up at Weasel the SOTG. Weasel Race!
Yeah, boy!
Of course, the local hero, Chris Rankin. You'll find him at Hydraulic Upright, U-P-R-I-T-E. Of course, I am Kyle Nash, the student of the game. You can find me at the SOTG on Twitter as well. Yeah. By the way, a couple quick shout-outs. You'll find me as a guest on EJ Christian's Earnestly Speaking. Good times all the way around there. You'll find out that on NGSC Sports website. And I will be guest hosting on the 3-Point Conversion. Not guest hosting. I'm guesting, I should say, on the 3-Point Conversion Network with friend of the show. You guys know him, Big TJ. He's back in the fold doing his own show. I will be guesting for him. And there's a possibility you'll find me on the Flying Elvis Faithful. I know. Don't judge me. I know it's a Patriots-themed show, but it's a bye week, and they wanted to have somebody who talked about football, not just pretty guys playing quarterback. I keep. It's a joke. Anyways. So, yeah. Until next time, everyone, class dismissed.